ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us here at the Church of Salvation, Healing, and Deliverance for another biblical message. Should you desire to contact us, our email is cos.hkd7@gmail.com, and our website is cos-hkd.org. And you can pass this along for free and in original condition. I am Pastor T. John Franklin, and may our Lord Jesus Christ richly bless you and yours. Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So thank you for joining us here. We're going to be following through with Joshua, as he's just dealt with Achan in the Valley of Achor. Now the beginning of Joshua chapter 8. He and the people of Israel basically have been forgiven and restored by God. This is a great process that under the new covenant we have with the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is good to have that as well too. Because if you were under the old covenant, it certainly wasn't the same thing now, was it? But as we're going to take a look at Joshua here, why don't we just start off with a word of prayer as we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, we do come to you through the shed blood of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and God by the indwelling Holy Spirit. Lord, we do bless and praise and glorify you. We thank you for all the blessings you've given us, Lord. Thank you for giving us another opportunity in which we can, say, study your scriptures. Yes, Lord, your blessings, and reveal your means and truth, open arms, and help us to put them into effect. Pray, Lord, you take any blinders, blocks might be on the eyes, ears, and minds. Take any spirits of slumber, and see if we got a seed sown in the hearts as well, too. Also, Lord, shove aside all those disturbances and distractions, those little thoughts just come racing through the mind. We take those captive to the beings of the Lord Jesus Christ and bind them to his obedience. Also, Lord, we do lift up the persecuted believers all over the world. They do need your help. And ask, Lord, you give them all sufficient grace. Give them a mighty outpouring of your Holy Spirit, leading the angels to minister them, strength and faith, restore their souls. Give more power, mind, strength, power, love, and a sound mind, more healings, and deliverance. Lord, for those who are in trouble, I'm praying, Lord, you hold them palms in your hand. Protect them from their adversaries. For those who are incarcerated, I'm praying, Lord, you would bring speedy release for them for your glory as well, too. In the name and blood of Lord Jesus Christ, I bind the strong sense of all of us partake of him. Jesus' name, I break all curses, vice, witchcraft, psychic prayers, honor against us, and I return them immediately to the original demonic centers. I cover us all, blood of Lord Jesus, and in Jesus' mighty name, I lose the legions of the spirits, Lord. Especially Isaiah 11:2. Seven spirits of God, spirit of Elijah, and the spirit of healing as well, too. Yes, Lord Jesus, we do thank you for all the many blessings you have given us. In Jesus' mighty name, by his blood. Amen. Forgiven and restored. Joshua, chapter 8, starting at the beginning. Now, this section is only just a few short verses, but there's a lot of important stuff in here. It starts off, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it. Well, we're seeing what's happening here, eh? They've come off tremendous victory with Jericho. They've come off an amazing defeat, a supposedly simple victory that went horribly wrong, and many people were killed. And it came out it was because of Achan. He coveted some of the spoil that should have been for the Lord, because the Lord said, all the spoil comes into my treasury. This is the first fruits of the land. It's mine. Well, God's the boss, you know. You can't argue with him on that. All you have to do is be obedient. Achan had trouble with that, and he paid for it, actually, him and his family. A hard way to find out that God means business. But you see, now, that's done. The sin has been forgiven, it's been cleansed off of Israel, and they're being restored now into a righteous, godly relationship. And now God's going to do great things with them. People might wonder, why did it have to go so far that way? Well, maybe the Lord allowed it to be an example that if they're going to play games with him, he would deal in like manner. And I'm sure there were many times after that when the people were tempted to do things against God that I'm sure the little thought popped up into their mind, remember Achan. You know, if people would learn more from their misadventures early in life, they would repeat a lot less of them as they get older. But in this day and age, you don't really see that often. You see too many repeating the mistakes over and over again. It seems they just never learn. However, Israel, they have learned. The Lord speaking to Joshua. Now remember the situation they're in. The people have taken a beating, an unexpected beating. The punishment's been dealt with. Now, where are they? Are they always going to be looking over their shoulder, wondering whether that next cloud that passes overhead is going to belch out a lightning bolt that's going to blast a bunch of them to oblivion? Or there is going to be balls of fire coming down out of heaven? I mean, they remember the tremendous victories that happened in Egypt, in the wilderness. They knew that anybody who messed with God came out on the losing side. I'm sure more than a few of them had this in the back of their mind. Was God just waiting to get them when they aren't looking? Well, our Lord says, when sins are forgiven, he casts them in the sea of forgetfulness. He doesn't keep holding that over our head going, remember, remember. There are people who do that. If anyone's doing that to you, break off that witchcraft control they're trying to put on you. It's a control factor. Trying to put that guilt, shame, and condemnation back in you. Don't take it. If you've confessed your sin, 1 John 1:9, don't let anyone else try to put it back on you. It's dealt with by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. So our Lord is reassuring Joshua, fear not. You don't have to be afraid of anything. We'll look at other selective scriptures about fearing not, because it's important to remember. The devil rules his crowd by fear. Fear with hatred. That's how he gets people to do what he wants. He puts his fear in them, and he puts his hatred in them. They go around hating everybody else, especially Christians. God doesn't work that way. He works on love. He pours out his grace and mercy upon us, and we are thankful for that. The Lord's telling Joshua, you do not have to fear. all that stuff is done. It's water under the bridge. Don't even have to think of it again. Josh was able to go on with the Lord. He'll be able to encourage the people, go on with the Lord. And besides not fearing, the Lord says, neither be thou dismayed. We got a big list of looking at these later as well, too. If I don't get all through them, they're being a study note. You can go through them yourself and check them out there. Now, fear and dismaying, we will look at the words there shortly, are pretty close in meaning. But I think dismay has an extra. I think of dismayed bordering on depression. Because somebody has been so beaten down, so defeated, so pushed under, they're in a state of depression. And you can tell somebody like that, they've got that defeated look on them. Unfortunately, there's too much of that in a family situation. Too many women are being beaten down. It shouldn't be that way. You know, the husband and wife should be able to stand together before the Lord in the way our Lord had set up the family structure. The husband is not the tyrant. Yes, he's the head of the family, but he's supposed to love his wife as he loves his own body. They don't talk too much about that in this day and age. So our Lord is telling Joshua, you don't have to be afraid, and don't be dismayed, don't be depressed. The devil likes to put that on people, and he can put it on God's people. He can really cut off on their effectiveness, you know, because we're supposed to be like our Lord Jesus Christ, going out to battle against them demonic hordes. Didn't our Lord give us Luke 10:19? He said, I've given you authority over all the power of the devil. Don't let the devil tell you that you're defeated, you're crushed underfoot. He's the one who's been defeated. He's the one who's been crushed underfoot. Don't let the devil play those games on you. You confessed your sin, you've been forgiven. Don't let the devil bring it back up. It's under the precious blood of Jesus. So now, the Israelites, they got to pick up. They got to continue what they started. They're going to go after Ai. They're not going to let them get away with that. They are going to go down. Well, the Lord tells Joshua, take all the people of war with thee. Some people try to say this was only the tribes of Reuben and Manasseh, etc., on the other side of the Jordan. Now, they did have about 600,000 men of war. How many they actually took them, I don't know. God says, take them all. We're not going to take any chance. When you go against the devil in battle, use all your weapons of warfare. Make sure you got all your gospel armor on, including the godly cloak of zeal as well, too. You just don't sputter and wear out of juice, so to speak. Now, let all the people go to war. And the Lord tells Joshua, arise, get up. Just don't keep sitting down. Look at David when he went after Goliath. Did he just stand there looking at them? No. After they exchanged greetings, in which David rebuked him in the name of the Lord after Goliath had cursed David by his gods, David put a stone in his sling and he ran out against Goliath, letting his stone fly out and whap him in the forehead. Down he went. You know, you see the devil out there, he's flicking you, your family, your church, your business, your nation. Go after the devil. You've got the weapons of your warfare. Now, 2 Corinthians 10. Keep pulling down the devil's strongholds. Go after him. Because if you don't go after him, he's going to go after you. He is going after you. Most believers just don't realize it. Where's the target here? Well, it's at AE. They weren't able to take it before. They're going to take it now. And as proof, the Lord says, I have given it into your hand. I've given you the king as well, too. The leader. This is the Old Testament version of binding the strong man, casting them down. And when he's bound, they then spoil his house. They did it in the physical in the Old Testament, do it in the spiritual in the New Testament. That's what our Lord Jesus wants his people to do. Bind the strong men over whatever and cast them down. Ask the Lord that his house be spoiled. If you're praying deliverance for some of that, means kick them demons out in Jesus' name. And we like to send them to Tartarus to make sure they're not hanging around again. So all the stuff's been given into the hand of God's people, the king, the people, the city, the land. That's a complete victory. Now, if they could only hold this up through the whole Canaan campaign, all would have been good. But very few tribes got their whole inheritance. Judah was about the only one. Many others only got partial, and even some didn't get any. Because they did not vigorously pursue the battle. Well, and thou shalt do to Ai, and her king, as thou didst unto Jericho. You don't give any grace to the demons. You don't give them any quarter, even if they ask for it. You don't make plea bargains with the demons. If they say, leave me in and I won't bug this person anymore. No. Even if they don't do anything, which don't believe them because they're liars, there'll be an open door to let other stuff get in to make the state of that person worse. You got to go after them. You got to pursue them and get the whole thing. You know, if you're going through surgery and there's a corrupt flesh inside, cancer, whatever, doctors go in, they got to get every little bit so it doesn't cause a reinfection, a reoccurrence of the situation. Same with them demons. Hound them out. And be very vigorous to them as well, too. Our Lord tells Joshua to do the same to the king of Ai as he did to Jericho. In the Middle Ages, they used to say, no quarter asked and no quarter given. You know, especially in the Crusades of the Middle Ages. When the Knights Templar and others, you know, they're the ones with the big red cross and their white tunics. When they met the Saracens, they hated each other because they were both super religious people. And if one got the advantage of the other, they didn't ask for surrender or offer this. It was death as soon as they could. Don't compromise with the demons. Pound them until they're defeated and driven out, and send them to Tartarus. If you want complete destruction on the demon's territory and the person set free. Now there's one difference here. Whereas in Jericho, everything went to the Lord because first fruits belong unto the Lord. Here now. Now it's Israel's turn. They get to keep the booty, the spoil. And it's given by God too. So you can have it. You get all the spoil. You get the cattle. You get everything. You know, you take for a prey for yourselves. See, God's not mad at them. He's given them a blessing. They can have everything. They got to go get them, though. And our Lord is going to give Joshua a tremendous strategy that caught the devil by surprise. because of what they're going to do is they're going to pretend what they did previous. They're going to go charging up front while there's going to be another bunch waiting for all the citizens, the soldiers of AE to come storming out. Get far enough away from the city, then they're going to go rushing in and they're going to destroy it. They have caught the soldiers of AE and the pincer movement front and back and destroy them. Yeah, the trick of the people of AE is turned back upon them. Now you can do that in deliverance. A couple of things ask the Lord to, that which the demons fear come upon them. That's actually of Job. When he said, that which I fear came upon me, the destruction of his family. You can pray and ask that the Lord would turn the devil's strengths into weaknesses. Yeah, turn their plans all upside down. Just as it is happening here. They thought they'd just rush out and conquer the Israelites again as they'd done previously. They had been baited. They took the bait. They brought the destruction upon themselves. They should have left a reserve force in the city. They should have left the gates closed. Instead, they thought, easy victory. We got them. Except their pride led to their downfall. And they were the ones who were vanquished, but that part will go through. The next time there. Ask the Lord to show you the best way of dealing with them demonic hordes. Usually it's going to involve breaking off all the legal ground they've got. If a person has sin, you're going to have to deal with it. And sins of the father, sins of anyone they're associated with, that even includes geopolitical areas. Yeah, provinces, states, territories, nations, your company, your neighborhood. Any groups, because you're part of them, any sins they're part of, you get the reward or punishment, as is the case. Also, soul ties. People's soul ties have to be broken. Damaged good soul ties have to be restored. And there's a whole lot of things in there as well, too. Break off all the occult devices hitting on you. All those curses and psychic prayers, cut them off and send them back to the original demonic centers in Jesus' name. Yeah, you use the weapons of your warfare and you'll be able to put up a pretty good fight against demonic hordes. Plus, Luke 10:19, you have the authority over all the power of the devil and his demons, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You stomp on them as snakes and scorpions. See, most people don't hear that verse and that interpretation because their churches, their denominations don't believe in it. But when you show it to them and explain it, this is what our Lord said, and that is taken in proper context, because that's where our Lord was sending out disciples to minister. That's part of the responsibilities he gave them. And from Mark 16 he still has them for us as well too. Now, who do you think would be telling people that you don't need to do it, that Christians can't have demons, or that's only for the primitive church, you know, the first generation after our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, it's not God going to be telling you that. It's the devil and his crowd. Remember, we were talking about they've been forgiven and they've been restored. Now, there's kind of an implicit thing that goes along with that, and that is sin no more. There are some famous examples in John 5 and John 8 we'll look at, but there's some examples in the Old Testament as well, too. When you get set free, remember, sin no more. People who have tremendous deliverance in whatever area they have trouble with, and then they say addictions, and then they go dive right back into them, well, it's not uncommon if they end up with seven worse demons in them. The Lord does talk about that. Demons go roving around the wilderness, and they come back. They find their house swept and garnished. Then they go get seven worse ones. That's what it is with someone who's playing games. Now you get set free. You walk with the Lord. You fight those critters. They put thoughts in your mind about, you know, getting back into substance abuse. You take them captive to the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to fight them. If you don't, they'll overcome you, push you down further. Don't let them do that. So we got some examples here. Just quickly go through them. 1 Samuel 26:21. Then said Saul, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool, and have erred exceedingly. Now, Saul only remembered that for more than 5 minutes and acted on it, things might have been better. But as soon as he got out of the sticky position he was in, he was right back after David. He just didn't seem to learn his lesson now, did he? And Jeremiah 31:34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Isn't that good to hear, as Jeremiah says, prophesying? This is what was going to happen with our Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood. Even hints of it given in the Old Testament, eh? Now, over in the New Testament, we have Luke 15:7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need not repentance. How glad it is in heaven. How joyous when one sinner repents and turns back. That's why we keep praying for revival. Get them people saved. Bring them in. And then there's the prodigal son, Luke 15:21. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son, etc. He wanted to be made a servant. But when we confess our sins to our Heavenly Father, he forgives them. And he restores us to a righteous godly relationship. He doesn't put us down into second class citizen, third class, fourth class. You know, he restores us right up top level there. That should make people much more thankful to our Lord, and much more appreciative as well too, to want to do more to serve our Lord. John 5:14. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. And this was a man who 38 years was infirm by that pool there, waiting for the stirring of water to go in. He tried, but still couldn't make it. He still kept trying. Our Lord Jesus came. You want to be healed? Oh, yes, Lord, I do. So he did. And later on, when he found him, he said this, sin no more. What it was, I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But there are a few cases when our Lord does tell the person, sin no more. It's probably a good idea to take that into account. Sin and no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. You know, there's some people who get into trouble and they wingle and wangle their way out with next to no punishment, saying, oh, I'll never do it again. They hardly get out of the door of the courthouse, and boom, off, they're doing it again. Get themselves into even deeper trouble. God's people are not supposed to do that. Next good example, John 8:11. This is a woman taken in adultery. But the man kind of conveniently was led away. She said, "No man, Lord." This is my Lord asked who was there to condemn her. And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." This woman here was told, "Go and sin no more." She knew that she could have died because of what she'd done. Her sin was that great. But here was the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, who backed off all the devil's tormentors and said, "Leave her alone." And then he told her, "I don't condemn you. You're forgiven. But go and sin no more." You can be sure she did not get back into that predicament again. Then Hebrews has some interesting ones. Hebrews 8:12. "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." Every time the demons try to tell you that your sins aren't forgiven, remember this verse. Say, "No. Word of God says." You can see right here, eh? Hebrews 8:12. Don't let the devil put guilt, shame, and condemnation on you. Rebuke them. You've been restored. Your sins have been forgiven. They're gone. Hebrews 10:2. "For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins." That's right. You don't have to let these sins keep weighing on your conscience. You've been forgiven. They've been cleansed. Don't let the devil play this guilt game on you. He brings them back. Rebuke him in Jesus' name. Hebrews 10:17. "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Good verse to remember, isn't it? Promise of God, sins and iniquities. You confess them, they're dealt with under the precious blood of Jesus. Hebrews 10:18. "Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin." Blood of Jesus is the best thing. You know, there are people who think they lose their salvation when they sin. They're wrong. They've been taught wrong. Well, if the blood of Jesus is not good enough to secure their salvation, well, there's nothing else greater than the precious blood of Jesus. And if they believe that, they're in trouble. But thankfully, it's not true. They just have a lying religious spirit on them, and they've accepted some false teaching. They need to get rid of that. Then there's Hebrews 10:26. Hebrews 10:26. "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins." Well, for those who are playing games with sin, there's nothing more precious than the blood of Jesus to pay the penalty for sin. And if they think they can trespass on God's grace and get away with it, they're only fooling themselves. When we were taking a look at fear at the beginning, remember God says, "Fear not, you don't have to be afraid." Well, we'll look at the list again, but look at the basic word. It's 03372. Yare from the Hebrew. Fear, 188 times. This is King James, afraid. Terrible, terrible thing, dreadful. Reverence, fearful. Terrible acts, miscellaneous, for 314. You know, years ago, the word awful is completely different than it is today. Today, awful means something terribly bad. But the original meaning was what the two words mean, full of awe. That's what believers are supposed to be, full of awe of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Devil somehow down the line kind of
flipped that around, like many things. Well, there are the meanings for this, but basically it's to fear. It can be to revere, be afraid, and there's other different meanings there as well too. You know, to stand in awe of or be awed, etc. Well, and God says, you know, they don't have to be afraid. They don't have to be afraid of Him. He's not going to get them. And that stuff was dealt with. When Achan was dealt with, that stuff was gone. They could now forget it. They could go forth in a close, righteous relationship with our Lord. And then for the scriptures on fear not, there's some of them. We'll take a look at them here in Matthew 10:28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. You know, this is good advice from our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's a lot of tyrants out there, a lot of terrorists that are threatening to kill people. Remember, they only have the power to kill the body here on earth. But after that, they have nothing they can do. Our Lord says, if you're going to fear somebody, you better fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell after death. Yeah, that's our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the true and living God. So, that in itself should be a motivating factor to, yes, we better love the Lord with our whole heart, mind, body, soul, and spirit, and strength as well, too. We serve him. Remember when Oliver Cromwell was setting up the parliamentary army of the what they called roundheads? He only wanted people who feared the Lord, who had the fire of God in their bellies, the ones who didn't fear man, because they're the ones who would go forward and do mighty things in battle, not be overcome with fear. Of course, you could take a look at Gideon's army. The first discharge notice went to those who were afraid. 2/3 of the army went. Kind of shocked Gideon. Oh, I've only got that many left. Well, he's better off without them. They would have turned and fled in battle. And that has a very devastating effect on the others. That then turns the situation into a rout where they just pick up and they run away. God's people are not supposed to abandon the battle. We charge. We keep charging. Till victory is achieved. Then we have Matthew 28:5. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, women, but fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. The ladies at the tomb. The stones rolled away. They're apprehensive. What's going on here? They're reassured by the angels. You don't have to be afraid. There is nothing ungodly that's going on. All this was a fulfillment of prophecy. Luke 1:13. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Well, when Zechariah was lighting the incense on the golden altar in the holy place, the angel appeared unto him and told him what was going to happen. That was a very overwhelming experience. The angel said, you don't have to be afraid. He didn't come to get him and to kill him. He came to talk to him and tell him what God's plan was. The birth of John the Baptist, the forerunner of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Luke 1:30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And the angel Gabriel appears to Mary. Same thing. Don't be afraid, Mary. Not come to get you. Come to tell you the wonderful work that the Lord is going to do with you. You found favor. Luke 2:10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. With the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, Now the shepherds were told, you don't have to be afraid. Good news. The Son of God is born, come to earth. Luke 5:10. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Well, when our Lord was calling his disciples, remember Peter there? Told him to cast his net, got a great big load of fish there. And our Lord says, you don't have to fear. From now on, you're going to be able to catch men. Yeah. We don't have to be afraid of our Lord Jesus Christ. We definitely should reverence him. We definitely should have the godly fear of the Lord, but you don't have to be in fear of being punished when you're walking in a righteous, godly relationship. Luke 8:50. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. You know, father had been told, daughter's died. But our Lord said, don't be afraid. You believe. She'll come back to life. She'll be made whole again. The man had faith, and it was honored. It was blessed. He got his daughter back again. Isn't it too bad that so many people are deceived by the devil into fearing the Lord? They won't go to him for help. You know, how many people are afraid of the Holy Spirit for things that have gone on? The Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead. Our Lord Jesus said, when I go to heaven, I'm going to send him. He's the comfort. When you look at the difference between Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2, you'll see the difference the Holy Spirit makes in a Christian church. We do need him today as much as we can have. Well, Luke 12:7. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. You know, you think your situation's worse? Don't fear. Keep praying. Our Lord tells you you're worth more than many sparrows. A little tiny bird. That's how much our Lord loves each and every person. You don't have to be afraid. Luke 12:32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Are you sure in the church? Fear not. Luke 18:4. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man. This is the unjust judge. Didn't fear God. You could say, boy, do we have a lot of that bunch today? We certainly do. But that's why you got to keep your binding loose and going as well, too. Ask the Lord to restore the judges to his standard of competence and justice, and if they refuse, then rebuke, remove, and replace them. Whatever way he wants to is up to him, but judges are charged by God to be dispensing godly justice, and if they refuse, they'll have to give account before him, the great and mighty judge. Well, John 12:15. Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt. Our Lord was coming in triumphal entry. It's going to be like coming again there. And Revelation 19, we're not going to be afraid. God's people, believers, are going to say, come on, Lord, come and take control over this earth. And he will. He'll set up his 1,000-year millennia. The only people who didn't like our Lord coming into Jerusalem were the devil's crowd. I know they were the religious ones. They're the ones who were plotting how to kill him. Even the high priest. Amazing, eh? Well, Acts 27:24, saying, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." Yeah. You know, Paul's gone through his 3 sham trials with Felix, Festus, and Agrippa. Now he's going on to Caesar. And he's told, "Don't be afraid, Paul. God's going to be with you. He's going to help you. Because you're going to testify. And as a special blessing, everyone who's with you is going to be saved." At the beginning, Paul said, this journey, you know, you're going in the wrong season. There's going to be much death and damage. Paul kept praying. And as a blessing, every one of them, all of them that sailed were going to be saved. And they did. None of them perished. That's a good way to pray. When you're praying, ask for, you know, the ones you're praying for, you want them all to get saved. And as soon as possible, see 2 Corinthians 6:2, today is the day of salvation. Well, Revelation 1:17, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last." And John in heaven was told, "Hey, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid of our Lord Jesus on earth or in heaven. You're in a righteous godly relationship." Now, if you're not, if you have not sought forgiveness and been restored, yeah, then you might want to do something there. Take that into account. Well, you've still got time. Well, in the process of being restored, remember we looked at the Lord's promise to Joshua. Hey, all the spoil is yours. You got it. Tremendous blessings. I know there are those out there who just love to name and claim everything. That's not really the way God does things. But Solomon in Proverbs 13:22 has something interesting to say. "A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just." And this is what was happening at A.E. The wealth of the sinners, the wealth of the ungodly at A.E. was going to be given to God's people. I know there are people who take verses like this and try to demand that God has to give them everything on the earth. Well, God will do what he wants to. You can ask, but you can't force God to do things like that. When we talked about dismay, there's another Hebrew word, 02865, kotha, or something like that, is rendered dismayed 27 times in the King James, afraid, break in pieces, broken, break down, abolished, affrighted, etc., 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 for a whole bunch of meanings. 54 times it is used. And it means to be shattered, to be dismayed. This is why, or to be broken. This is why I put it beyond just being fear. It's like depressed, being broken down and made into pieces. That's what fear can do to people if it's not dealt with in a godly way. God's people don't have to be dismayed. Our times are in the hands of the Lord, and we just have to trust him that things will be worked out. You say, "Well, what about all the believers being killed?" Well, there is Revelation 12:11, and some believers will seal their testimony with their blood, and they will get a crown for a crown of a martyr when they go to heaven. But you know, if that's what the Lord has deemed for you, give glory to the Lord. You know, they said before Constantine, Roman Emperor, accepted Christianity as a state religion, there was about 10 persecutions that went on in that first 400 years. Who knows how many hundreds of thousands or millions of Christians that were killed in that process. Every one of them, crowned of a martyr. And the Roman Empire was overcome by Christianity.
You know, the devil likes to rant and rave about how powerful he is. Well, if he's that powerful, he would have destroyed the world a long time ago, because that's what he does. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He just doesn't want to kill Christians. He wants to kill everything. Because God's grace was poured out on humanity, and he don't like that. So the thing is, you just keep charging ahead. Don't let the devil put you down. Don't be afraid. Definitely do not be dismayed, discouraged, or depressed. Those are spiritual qualities. Actually, so is fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. 2 Tim 1:7. So if you find yourself fearful, and there's a whole ton of phobias, and they're not from the Lord, you can get rid of them. We've got a mass deliverance dealing with fears. Go through it. Get rid of them. And same for depression as well, too. It's mainly spiritual. The mass deliverance of it as well, too. Get rid of that stuff. Ask the Lord to clean you up, get you back going on your feet where you can charge ahead doing the works of the Lord, looking for those Goliaths and taking them down big time. Well, we talked about dismay there. No, we'll look at some scriptures here. And if we don't get them all done by the end of the message, they'll be in the study notes. Go through, check them out. We'll start off with Deuteronomy 31:8. Deuteronomy 31:8. I'll just take a look here. Okay. Now, and the Lord, he is it that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. You see, isn't that kind of like what we just did? Yeah, it is. Isn't that good? Hey, the Lord was ministering to his people. You don't have to be afraid. He's gone before. He went before him in battle. He will not fail. When demons try to tell you God's not going to help you, say, He promised he'd help me. You got this verse here, right? Deuteronomy 31:8. He won't forsake you. So don't fear. Don't be dismayed. Don't let the devil push you down under. Yeah, we just did action in Joshua, but in Joshua 1:9, that was told to Joshua back then. Joshua 1:9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. See? That's a command from the Lord. Command to be strong and of a good courage. Oh, in the early 1900s, there was a kind of Christianity that was called muscular Christianity because it had a strong element of physical fitness. Getting back into shape, which is not a bad idea, especially in this day and age. And physical strength is good, but spiritual strength is even better. Remember Paul said, bodily exercise profits little, but spiritual exercise profits a lot. And for those who are big into physical exercise, I hope you're doing as much, in fact, a lot more of the spiritual exercise in battling in the heavenly. Okay, Joshua 8. Well, we just did Joshua 8 1 there. We go on to the next one then. Okay. Joshua 10:25. Joshua 10:25. And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed, Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. You put that on the spiritual plane. Don't be afraid of them demons. Don't let them put you down. Don't be depressed. They yell and scream thinking they're big. They're not. They're deceivers, they're con artists, they're liars. Our Lord says, be strong, be of good courage. Attack them like David did Goliath. Our Lord says, thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies. Ask for the Lord's help in battling against these evil ones, against whom you're fighting. Remember, he said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. He wants to see you victorious. Well, in 1 Sam 17:11, when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Yeah. And they heard the roaring of Goliath, all those mighty men of war from Saul down were dismayed. They were depressed. They knew that none of the men by themselves could have taken on Goliath. Now, why they didn't go out and join the battle of their whole army? Because they were afraid. They were undermined by fear. That's why God sent out David, little shepherd boy, teenager. He had the fear of the Lord instead of the fear of the giant. Well, 2 Kings 19:26. Therefore their inhabitants were of small power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as the grass of the field, and as the green herb, as the grass on the housetop, and as corn blasted before it grew up. Well, you know, you may be small in size, but when you're working with the Lord, you're going to do great and mighty things. Don't let the devil dismay you, confound you. That's confusion. Don't be like that. You know, that's why our Lord Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. We could have him working within us, and then there were great and mighty things done. 1 Chronicles 22:13. Then shalt thou prosper if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Dread not, neither be dismayed. Yeah, good advice, eh? Follow the law of the Lord. So, just as the Lord had charged Moses, be strong. Be strong in the Lord. Good part of that comes with knowing the Word of God. Remember, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. Very important verse there. They're courageous, trusting in the Lord. Dread not. No, the only one you have to fear is God. You don't have to fear the devil and his crowd. Don't be dismayed. Don't be overcome. Turn into someone who's full of depression and just can't do anything. They say after disasters that the number of people being depressed and needing many more medications goes up tremendously. It's too bad they don't get deliverance. Of course, he may have better get saved first as well, too. Well, got one here. 1 Chronicles 28:20. David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. Now this was David charging Solomon there. It is about near to expire. I'd say that's what Joshua went through, yeah. See, that's good advice for God's people. Keep on the battle. Keep on charging ahead. Don't back down. Don't let the devil put fear on you. Don't be dismayed, discouraged, depressed. Don't put that on the devil and his gang. Put the fear of the Lord on them. Let them be afraid. Let them scream out, you know, fear for the Lord Jesus Christ as he comes to torment them before the time. Might be a good idea to ask the Lord that he do torment the demons. Give them a sample of what they've done to people for thousands of years. But you know, isn't it amazing what happened when the people after Achan, they were cleansed of the sin of the nation. They were forgiven. The nation was forgiven and off they went. They were restored. They were in righteous godly relationship. They went on to a tremendous victory. They went on to the promised land, doing many victories for the glory of the Lord. But it had to start off with being forgiven of their sins. They had to confess and they'd be forgiven. The iniquity was cleaned out of the camp and our Lord restored them. We do need that today, thankfully, with the full message of salvation, healing, deliverance. People can get saved, set free. And with deliverance, can be restored to that righteous God relationship where those demons are cast out of you. The Holy Spirit is able to work more mightily in and through you without being cluttered up with all that demonic waste. The question is, do you really want to get set free? Do you really want to be used of the Lord for great and mighty things? I believe our Lord is calling for more people to come up. Come to the battle, friendy. There's a lot of work to do for God's people. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. I would like to thank everybody for joining me here today as we study the Word of God. Aren't there so many blessings and promises in it that God has for us? But the best one He has is eternal life. It's free. And it's offered to everybody. I would challenge everybody to examine themselves, as Paul said, to see if they be in the faith. And if things are lacking, there's no better day than today, because today is the day of salvation. I know the devil will tell you, you don't have to do it. You don't have to win anything. Well, says Romans 14:12, everybody is going to have to give account of themselves. Everybody. And in case the devil tries sin, you're not that bad. Well, it's Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Being good is not good enough. You have to be godly. And you can only do it through the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, our Lord shows us there's two options. Yeah, in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life eternal. That's the way it is. There's two choices. It's God's way or it's the other way. The other way is no good. You don't want that. I don't want to see anyone go that way, but you know, because of the sin of Adam, that's where humanity is going. Everybody is going that road until they get born again. You say, well, is it really like that? Well, you know, there's Romans 6:23. Yep. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life eternal. You know, that's followed up a Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone. So, what's it going to be? I want the best for everybody. You want to maximize your manhood or your womanhood? You got to do it the way our Lord Jesus Christ does.
You know, the Holy Spirit is working in each and every one, convicting you of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. So what are you going to do? You're going to turn away? The devil's best lie is, don't do it today. Do it tomorrow. Have fun. Enjoy yourself. You can get saved an hour before you die. Those people who go that road, they usually never get around to it because many times they die suddenly and they just don't have time for that. I don't want to see that happen to anybody. You know, if you had the winning multi-million dollar ticket, you would be running down to collect it immediately. You know, that's what eternal life is. It's better than that because it can't be taxed. Your bank's not going to go under and take your money. Your treasure's in heaven. You're going to collect everything when you go to be there. But you know, you've got to confess your sin. You've got to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Call upon Him as your Lord and Savior. You know, He's knocking at the door of your heart, as it says in Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will open the door, I will enter and come in with him. Yes. The Lord is waiting for you to invite him in. You say, well, what happens when I do that? Well, God's Holy Spirit will come into you upon salvation, will clean up your spirit, and will seal you under the day of redemption. Yes, right. You know, when you leave this world because you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, you're going to be up in heaven forever and ever and ever. You're not going to be floating around in nothingness, no purgatory. You go to be with our Lord Jesus Christ. What a great thing that is. And it is eternal security because of John 10:27-28, where our Lord Himself says, nobody can take you out of my Father's hand. Nobody can take you out of my hand. Nobody's greater than us, our Lord said. You can take that to the bank. So what are you going to do? Our Lord Jesus Christ is calling you today. Come. Matthew 11:28-30. Come, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Aren't you tired of all that's going on in the world? Aren't you tired of leading a defeated life? Why not come to our Lord Jesus Christ? He shed His blood for you on Calvary's cross. He loves you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you want this everlasting life, a little simple prayer, just like a little child can do. Lord Jesus Christ, if I have never really asked you into my heart and into my life, I'm asking you here and now to come in and to save me from all my sins. And when you do that, your sins are forgiven. Your name's written in the book of life. And as Romans 8 says, nothing can separate you from the love of God that is given to you through Christ Jesus. Nothing. Yes. Your spirit sealed. And when you leave here, you go to be with our Lord forever. And in this life, God's Holy Spirit will work in you, helping you to mortify the flesh, helping you to be more like Jesus so you can do the works of Jesus, so you can be more glorifying to our Heavenly Father. Where can you get a better deal like that? Just ain't one around. So again, I urge you today, before it is too late, seek out the Lord. For those who are born again that have fallen by the wayside, confess your sins. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's right. Your sins that you've committed since will be forgiven. I urge you, seek it out. Do not delay. Be diligent in it. Our Lord has His loving arms open to you. He wants you to come back into the fold. So again, may the Lord grant you the grace and the mercy and peace to be able to follow through this, because it's the best thing that will ever happen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen.